it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'll tell you what, Josh. I think that Game Week 3 was a game week that went better than we think it did. So in true Always Cheating fashion, we're going to try to, you know, maintain that positive attitude. I think there is some confusion. And the goal in this episode, right, is to clear out some confusion with a little game we like to play, buy, sell, hold. Who are the there are some very controversial FPL assets at the moment. Who's worth buying, who's worth holding, who's worth selling. It's very straightforward. Yep. This is the perfect moment, I think, in the season to do buy, sell, hold.
We assume most of our listeners are bond traders and that this is a world they're going to feel very comfortable in. And so that's sort of the idea for this week's pod, Brandon, is are we holding on to what we...
Money never sleeps, nor does FPL, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. I think it was... you said it was a strange game week when you and I were talking earlier. I don't know if I'd call it strange exactly, but it was one of those weeks where the order of events... Sometimes the way you feel about a game week depends on when the good matches took place, right? Like if the final match of the game week had been that Man United match where we got the two Rashford assists, the Bruno Gold assists. Yeah. But instead, I think I looked at it. I think it was 5 of the 20 teams conceded their first goal of the match after the 75th minute this weekend. And so, which is, I don't know, like, I mean, certainly teams concede goals, but to concede... especially early on in the season, but to concede for 5 teams to do it, and they were all kind of highly owned, the Brentford and Man City, and I mean Everton. Maybe they shouldn't be highly owned, but I have Pickford along with many others, and so there were a couple of those like kind of stomach punch fantasy moments. But I think in general,
we're the flip side. I'll jump in. We're the flip side because you lost 2 clean sheets after the 75th minute. The simultaneous kickoffs of Manchester United and Arsenal, I lost my Saliba and Onana clean sheets within roughly 2 minutes. So,
that's true. It was a real, for anyone who is still holding on to Gabriel and found out again that the just trust me, he'll start this week was once again. I mean, the thing is, like, it's just so funny to me because this guy started like 60 game weeks in a row. This idea that Gabriel can only play in a very, 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 very specific setup. And that he is like a situational center back is an idea that just got introduced. He's some kind of specialist, like one of those baseball pitchers who needs like the special catcher.
He's a sidewinder whatever you call that. I think that like to the add to the strangeness for me, the bad was kind of like either deeply upsetting, losing a clean sheet at the end of the match, or not even getting to cheer for a clean sheet if you're rooting for Arsenal or United. But then you mentioned the Rashford and Bruno Fernandes returns. Those were also like augmented by the yellow cards and just
yellows.
And just the strangeness of how Marcus Rashford won that penalty to win Manchester United the match. Like, very, very sketchy of our review there. So it was all like, even the good stuff, I was like, well, how is this good for my team? Well, it turns out it's pretty good.
I enjoyed the Saturday matches. I thought they were a blast. Even the Brighton match I enjoyed, I think because I had a pretty good start to the week and I was kind of okay with it. It was an interesting week. I mean, outside of, it was like the wheel turned so quick, right? It's like Brentford assets, go all in. They're amazing. Yep. Vissa blank, defenders blanked, and Boma blanked. Oh, Brighton, they're unstoppable, an unstoppable force in fantasy. Mm-hmm. Like 0 points from a Stupinon, one from maybe very got stoppable, one. Yes. One from Matoma. Honestly, should have had 0 points. I think West Ham had like two or three chances near the end to score and just barely missed. It was kind of a and then suddenly Chelsea became the team du jour. And I mean this is just sort of how it goes, right? You mm-hmm. and this is part of the fun of it. If it was just one team all the time, that wouldn't be wouldn't make the game very fun. So yeah. So that's actually kind of feeds into the theme a little bit this week, right? Which is this idea of are we shifting things all across the board?
Sure?
Are we sure? Yeah. I mean, Ollie Watkins is a player that I could spend 2-3 hours talking about, Brandon, and how mm-hmm. I feel about Watkins and how I feel about getting 5 points every week and yeah. whether I should be happy with that, so that's kind of what we're going to cover on today's pod. I have to say, I ultimately feel pretty good about the game week. I finished on 59 points, 15 points above the average. So it was the kind of match or kind of game week that I needed. I actually jumped 2 million spots, which I think gives you an idea of how much you can still move. And so I'm at like 1.7 million. It's, honestly, I think it might be the worst start I've ever had, but it's so early on in the season that all it takes is one good game week to jump 2 million. So there's really no reason to get caught up in it at all, right? One more good game week and you could jump into the top million and then just kind of keep going from there. And right. So I feel pretty good about it. I think losing the Man City clean sheet was kind of annoying. And I just, in general, don't typically have Man City defenders because you don't really get a lot like attacking return wise.
So tell the listeners what your transfer was, just to clarify what you're talking about.
Well, I was considering some more. I'm not sure any of the options I was considering would have worked out. So it worked fine. It worked out okay in the end. But Luke Shaw was announced that he had at least semi significant injury. I was going to be out for a few weeks, and so I moved Shaw to Diaz. I did Diaz instead of Gvardiol because I had Gabriel, and I was like, I just need one defender I actually feel confident is going to start this game week. Yeah, exactly. Just give me a nice old D or R. I don't know when he started going by Ruben. I remember him as kind of Ruben Diaz all the time, and now he's Ruben.
He ate the sandwich, and there was no looking back, Joshua.
Yeah, I guess so. But the thing about these Man City defenders is if you just look at sheer goals, at like X goals conceded or whatever the whatever the stat is, basically like how many
goals they beat, X goals against, right? So you're talking
X goals against, exactly,
or whatever.
It's
big chances allowed. We could go real deep in here.
Yeah, well, clearly we can't because you and I have no idea what we're talking about. But they always they're sort of always at the top of the clean sheet charts, and they don't, but it's like they have this thing where because they are so dominant throughout like these matches, right? 60, 70 minutes where they're utterly in control and their team doesn't even have a shot. It's like the second the other team even gets like a little bit of, whatever, gumption, let's call it gumption, brand, a little bit of gumption going forward.
The other XG.
It's like Man City goes into full on panic mode. Right. It's like suddenly it's like they're like everyone like freaks out.
Like the ball becomes like a greased up pig in the 18 yard box and nobody can catch it.
Yeah, exactly. That's like I was going to say they're like a parent who is like their kid just scraped their knee and they're freaking out. Right. Uh-huh. It's like, hey, it's just a scrape. We don't have to like go all out here. You're going to overreact and something, you're going to make things worse. But that it seems like they overreact when there's like one chance. And so that's how they end up in these situations where repeatedly they can see one goal on one shot on target, and this happened a whole bunch last year. And so every time you look, it's like, wow, the stats are incredible, they're such a dominant team, and yet one goal and one shot on target happens all the time with them. And outside of Cancelo, who was the one player who was allowed to go forward until he wasn't and was shipped off to Bayern Munich, is he still, I guess he hasn't, I don't think he's actually been sold still, right? He's still on the squad.
There is the deadline. Barcelona, I think, was the last suitor for him, but he's still on the City payroll. As far as I know,
like a chaos club, appropriate.
I will say, I thought Ruben Diaz looked really good. He was getting involved in the, it's a classic City dominant, like we're just going to push literally every outfield player into the attack. So Ruben mm-hmm. was trying to create chances straight up. And I was like, oh, look at this. Center back is a good pick.
Ruben.
He was creating more than Guardiola did. I do fancy Guardiola more in the matches where it's stiffer competition, I guess.
If I had a more solid 4 or 5, or, you know, if I had someone back there on my, in my bench who I felt really good about, I would have gone with him.
Yeah.
But with the Pep defender, you just don't always know. And the news that Akanji hadn't traveled was not revealed until Saturday, I think. Right. So it would have been, you know, so that was, there's a little bit of concern. Well, you could, in theory, it's, I mean, Akanji and Guardiola aren't necessarily in competition, but Ake is, right? And so it was sort of like, you didn't know quite how the puzzle pieces were all going to fit. And so that's why I went with the
review. Yeah. My mood definitely shifted on Sunday as well. Like, I felt like front loaded Friday week. Let's talk a lot about Nicholas Jackson in the buy, sell, hold section. But Chelsea on the whole delivered for fantasy managers. And then we mentioned Arsenal and Manchester United, fine in the attack, horrible in the defense. And I'm looking ahead to Sunday thinking, you know, my ace up my sleeve is Phil Foden. And then the rumors start breaking that Phil Foden hasn't traveled. He wasn't seen in training. And I'm like, oh, right. This is what it's really like to own Phil Foden. This is the the real story. The rest of the story is Paul Harvey used to say.
Who would you have had off your bench if Foden hadn't come on?
Yeah, well, my transfer was to move Chukwuemeka, who was injured, to Papi Sarr on Spurs. But I had him second on my bench. This is like a Cold War transfer. Sarr immediately comes in and gets me an attacking return, but no one is to know. It's happening, you know, in the dark alleyways of my fantasy team.
Yeah.
Pau Torres was first on my bench. So I was thinking, well, this clean sheet against Burnley is assured now. And I start playing that game. And, you know, all of my anxiety is then spun into joy when this miraculous assist happens from a Phil Foden.
Yeah, he misplays a ball and gets a true. He actually had two very shaky fantasy assists, because did you see that Jota got an assist awarded for the first goal that Darwin scored, the one where the defender literally plays it into Darwin's pass.
Botman played it off of his booty.
Yeah. And then got injured. Yeah.
So joy. But my joy is equal to your joy. We both finish on 59 points. I won all my head to heads except for my head to head against you, in which we drew, which is why we're able to actually record this podcast civilly tonight.
Yep, that's true. Finally, it's a civil war. The civil war continues. I think it was a good week for both of us. It's nice. And so, you know, we got one more week to go until the international break. Yeah. So this first one always sneaks up on people. So we are going to be potting straight to the international break. So don't go away. At the very least, Brandon, even if you're not thinking fantasy, you pop in there, you download that podcast. That sweet, sweet listen, Brandon. Give us that sweet, sweet
juicy
listen. Listen a few minutes through. Just put it on in your baby's room. Help them fall asleep. I don't know. Whatever it takes.
it's a clean
get
podcast.
That listen in there. So, but a couple of notes. Yeah. So one, international break begins after game week 4. Two, the Carabao Cup matches are on Tuesday and Wednesday. I believe it's all of the teams that aren't in Europe, or is it all the teams that don't finish in the top 6? There's some
Chelsea and Spurs like play midweek. I know those are the big ones that we will want to keep in mind.
Yeah, I think it's like the bottom 14 in the Premier League play in this kind of first round of Carabao Cup matches. So those matches are on Tuesday and Wednesday.
From last season's table.
Last season's table. Yeah, exactly. So, and then we have there's also a Friday deadline, and the transfer deadline is on September 1st. So we have a lot of deadlines coming through. And so you really, if there was ever a week, Brandon, and we really saw this week with James Maddison, right? Who was taken, you know, he left the stadium in crutches. We weren't going to see him again until, Boxing Day or something like that, right? And then suddenly...
I reminded of that meme where the old guy on crutches takes the dance floor in the old folks' home and he starts dancing to Fat Boy Slim or something like that. It's basically what James
Madison. It's just a music video, right?
He's Christopher Walken, basically, is what he was.
Yeah. But, you know, it's sort of... it was a nice week for managers being honest, because you had Deserby straight up said that Ferguson was going to be starting, which I think gave people some confidence to drop Joao Pedro. And because I think there's a feeling that Pedro that Welbeck and Ferguson, I mean, I don't know, Pedro could have started, I suppose.
Well, the way I think that was that was interesting from Deserby, because the question that was posed to Deserby was, what's the deal with Joao Pedro? Will we see him in the starting 11 tomorrow? Deserby answers the question by not speaking Joao Pedro's name or acknowledging that Joao Pedro is a human being on this planet. And he just says,
wow,
Evan Ferguson will be in the starting 11 tomorrow. And it was this weird, like, is this dude just like cold as ice, or is he, is he sending a message, or is he just kind of being intentionally hard to read on this particular topic? I don't really know, but I did think that was interesting.
Yeah, and I think that Joao Pedro is – I thought he played well when he came on the pitch, too. I thought he looked pretty good. It's a weird match. I don't really – I think you just chalk it up to one of those matches. I don't know. I mean, West Ham played really well, and I think that's
– West Ham are – they're a part of the conversation strategy. Now, Josh. West Ham are.
Yeah, they are. I mean, and they play Luton on Friday, so I think Jared Bowen would be a great pick. I mean, I think with that international break looming – if you've got two transfers, you don't have anything like urgent you want to do, one transfer on Jared Bowden, and then you've got him for the Friday match, not a terrible way to go. So, or if you think, oh, you know what, I kind of want to wild card out of the team that I've got right now, and I'm going to wait to do it till the international break, which I think makes a lot of sense, especially with the transfer deadline looming, right? It just makes you feel a little safer about someone like Malo Gusto, for example, the Chelsea fullback, right? It's like, if they sign up right back this week, and it's, who knows? You would, they've been rumored.
I'd sign Malo Gusto if I was Chelsea in that situation. Yeah, so I think they're good.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Two assists on two crosses.
It was great.
Beautiful. Yeah. You look great. Yeah. So anyway, so if you were planning to wild card during the international break and you had kind of like a free transfer this week, I do think that Bowen will be somebody to target. I'm not sure he'd be at the top of my list of all midfielders. Right. I think there's quite a lot right now. But just wanted to note all of that stuff. So, Brendan, I do think we should get into our buy, sell, hold. I wanted to quickly thank all of our new Patreon supporters and suggest that you may enjoy Patreon yourself, listeners of the pod who are not currently patrons. That's an awkward way to say all of that. But patreon.com/alwaysgn is where you can go. Get an extra podcast each week. Can talk with us and others in the Discord. Still time to get into many of those mini leagues that we have talked about before. I think even a couple of the CASH leagues, Brendan, I think they'll still take your money. So think about that. We don't run any of those ourselves. And I'm not even like winking and nodding here. We actually genuinely don't, because we don't want to get into that kind of mess. But that is those are run and available. And thank you to our newest patrons, Kai Gaviglio, Trevor Edie, Kirill Medvedev, Mike Green, Bram Berger, Ray Barton, Luke Daly, and JP Burns. Ray Barton, is that a, if that's not a football player, it should be, Brandon. Ray Barton, that's like a, doesn't that just sound like somebody who played for, I don't even know, like a,
Crowley Town back in the Crowley 70s. Town. Yeah, like Football exactly. Remind Twitter account says like, look at the left peg, what a pinger. Or something like that. It was Ray Barton.
Well, there's a major general Raymond Oscar Tubby Barton. Brandon was a career officer fought in World War I and World War II. So if you know anything about Raymond Oscar Barton, or perhaps you're his grandson or great great grandson, let us know. Come on, and we'll talk World War II. Like it's a what is that? Dan Carlin's Hardcore History or something like that.
Definitely.
All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break. We'll get back and we'll commence buying, selling, and holding various fantasy Premier League players. All right, Brandon, we're back. Buy, sell, hold. First of the season. I feel like we usually do a couple of these, two or three per year. Good to kick things off with game week 4. First one before the national break. Brandon, I went in reverse order this time. Sometimes we go back to front, goalkeepers to forwards. But I feel like most people really want the the, you know, the vanity positions, right? They want to start with the forward, uh-huh. move your way back, and then with them, you know, we'll kind of touch on goalkeepers near the end.
Real sex appeal up front. It's where we're seeing all the points come from right now is goals and assists. In game week one, that was all defenders. Defenders were providing all the goals and assists, but they're coming up a little short right now.
Yeah, I was looking. I think the number of teams that had a clean sheet, it was
two, right?
Three total out of 20. It was Wolves, Spurs, and Chelsea. And the Chelsea that maybe could have been expected, but and Wolves and Spurs are both on the road, and Bournemouth had scored a couple of goals. So if you were frustrated by the lack of clean sheets in your own team this game week, you're not alone, unless you are. I don't know. Did anyone have a Wolves defender? I feel like they're all like 0% ownership.
Yeah, that's the Udogi, Gusto, and Chilwell brigade is what we're talking about there. And
for sure,
The Udogi and Gusto owners would be flying high.
Udogi hasn't gotten enough love, has he? I feel like, speaking of people who haven't gotten enough love, Goose says, why are more people talking about A1E? Taiwo Awoniyi. I struggle with his last name, but he scored in 7 consecutive games.
It's incredible.
And it doesn't seem to be in many people's teams. He looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like whenever he plays, I'm like, this guy looks legit. You know, he actually had a chance to score a brace in that Man United match. So what do you think about our boy Taiwo, Brandon?
Big ups to Taiwo. The reason why people aren't talking about him is because he plays for Forest. You know, and I'm not saying that's wrong or right. That's often a bias that comes with fantasy, is I'm not going to focus on the teams lower down the table. There's also the added, you know, while A1E finished the season last season really strong, I think there is this idea in some non-Forest fans, fantasy managers, of Brennan Johnson and A1E share the points.
Yeah.
So I just don't want either of them in that case. But what we have now learned over the course of these 7 fixtures you mentioned is that A1E is the dude. And I don't know. Where is the line, Josh, of I have not a lot of faith in Forest, just like cleaning out lots of opponents, versus I have a lot of faith in this particular forward. I mean, we've seen it before, like the Charlie Austin at QPR sort of phenomenon, or, you know, there's always these talismanic strikers, Troy Deeney, Timo Pukki. Is A1E a Timo Pukki?
Yeah. I think he might be. I mean, for one thing, Forest have honestly looked decent to start the season, right? They had a nice win over Sheffield United, gave Arsenal some problems when they played them, especially in the second half of that match. Were dangerous the entire match with Man United. Could have drawn, could have won, could have equalized late. So I think that they're, it doesn't, I mean, I'm not sure how strong they are defensively, but I think from an attacking point of view, I think they look decent. I mean, with Serge Aurier is like this, it's almost it's too bad their defense isn't better, because he would be a great option. Otherwise, he's basically playing as a right wing back. Mm-hmm. As a right wing, not even a wing back. Yep. It's like, I'm not sure he's getting back at all. It feels like he's just playing.
Serge, right, don't play that game, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, he's 6.5. It's just, he's not as exciting as Johan Vissa. I think that, who was a slightly cheaper price point. Nicholas Jackson sucked up a lot of the air for a couple of weeks there, and will continue to. Mm-hmm. And I think that, but if you have Jackson, if you have Holland Jackson, and maybe you're just like, I want to get off the Joao Pedro thing. I mean, Brighton do have some tough fixtures coming up as well. I think A1E is not a terrible shout. I mean, unfortunately, they don't have a great game week 4 fixture. They play away to Chelsea. Do I think it's impossible that he scores there? Of course not. He scored away to Arsenal already this season. But
and away to Manchester United, which, like, I don't really know what that means at this point.
Why am I not kind of expecting him to score in this match? But I will just to throw him out there, I think that Johan Vissa would be, they have an even better fixture in game week 4. They play They played Bournemouth at home. So I would say that I am, well, I guess I'm like, it's like a tentative, it's a buy in the sense that I think he's a buy. He's not like a strong buy. Right. I guess I want a slightly cleaner run of fixtures for them, but I don't think I think he does deserve more love, and I'm glad that we're giving him some attention at near the top of this week's pod.
Yeah, probably correctly priced at 6.5, but he just seems like the type of forward that most managers would only want to pay the João Pedro price for and maybe rotate him through for the fixtures that the narrative is easier to build. I agree. I've been talking to a number of our supporters on the Discord about getting Mbomo into the midfield, and I'm like, hold up, maybe you've got dead weight in your third forward position. This could transition us to Vissa. Why not Vissa instead of Mbomo? Because Bournemouth at home in game week 4, Newcastle away in 5, not great. Then it's Everton, Forest, United, and Burnley in the next 4. So it's a really great run for Brentford. So I do give, and Vissa has shown the same form as Iwani has. So I still like him. Kind of slightly better team, better vibe is my feeling.
I like him too. And I will say, you know, personally, I'm looking at bringing in one of these Brentford attacking players ahead of game week 4. I have 2 transfers. I'm kind of leaning towards Rashford to Mbomo. So when we talk about midfielders, we can talk about him a little bit more, but I also like watching him play. I just enjoy, I think that he's a good player. I mean, honestly, I'll say the same for A1E. I think that he's kind of a classic, I feel like you get these, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He's kind of like a throwback, maybe. You know, he's sort of like, when I say classic, he's like it's like he's in that kind of Chris Wood mold or something like that, right? Where he's just
a big unit.
He's a big lad. Yeah, he's like, I don't know how tall he is. He's 6, whatever. He's only 6 foot. Okay, he's got like extremely broad shoulders. He looks taller than that, I think. Much like me, Brandon. You know, I'm only 5'8", but I look... What are like 6'4" to most people? Maybe 6'6", 6'9"?
Yeah, people are often looking up at you. I mean, just go to look at Taiwo's profile picture on the FPL site. He looks like an action figure. It's incredible.
Yeah. He's got like a wrestler's, like, or maybe like a rugby player's neck, right? It's just, he looks very strong. All right. So FPL Brooklyn said, can we talk about the Watkins conundrum this week? Villa look great in attack, so it seems crazy to drop him, but assists just aren't cutting it for me when other cheaper options are there. It was a frustrating match. I was double screening it this morning. I was watching the Man City match on the big screen, Brandon, and by which I mean my television set. And then I was watching the other one on the small screen, by which I mean my phone. And that was fine. I didn't need to see Villa on more than that phone. But
technical.
It was fine. I have an iPad. I could have actually just used that, but I didn't want to get up and get it. Sometimes you'll just watch something on your phone for 2 hours because you don't want to cross a room to get your iPad.
Sure, that's how I watched Oppenheimer. Yeah. So, you know, I get it.
Exactly. Watch Oppenheimer on your phone. So I think that the thing about Watkins is it's hard to ever say anything bad about him because when you watch Villa play, it's like he does everything well. Right? It's like, you know, it's like he sort of, he's very unselfish. I mean, there was a moment late where, who was the guy they brought on? I think he's like a new signing. Oh,
yeah,
them.
He was, I know the guy you're talking about. He was clear. Yeah. The two of them had basically a 2-on-1, and the dude just had to slip it through the Watkins, but he clearly had in his mind, I want to score. This is a great opportunity for me to score my first goal for Villa.
Yeah.
Watkins
Zaniolo.
Yeah. To Watkins credit, he was courteous to Zaniolo and he knew what was
going
on.
That's what I was
going to
say.
He knew they had the points in the bags. So,
yeah. He patted him in the back. But man, if I was Watkins and I was looking for my first goal that year, I mean, because Callum Wilson later on in that match, Newcastle were in control of that match. And there were a couple of chances late where it felt like they could have just put it away. And a couple of their wingers were like, it's hero ball time, and I'm going to I'm gonna basically pull a Matoma and dribble through everybody and score a brilliant goal. And it happened like back to back, because it started off with Harvey Barnes doing it, and Wilson was like apoplectic, and then just like. I don't know what it was in match time, but let's say it was like 4 minutes later, Almiron did like almost the exact same thing, where it was like dribbles through, decides he's going to score himself. And in both cases, they really could have scored very easily. And instead, we have this insane situation where Liverpool won that
incredible
match.
Incredible choke job, like all time choke job for this season.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was the same goal twice. I mean, it was really almost the identical. Maybe he gets a little lucky on the first one, but it's that the same goal. It's just, you know, him out wide, outright, you know, and yep. just slides it. And lashes it. Yeah, at a very difficult angle. I mean, both those were tricky goals mm-hmm. at a fairly tight angle, especially that first one. Oh, that first goal was really a beauty. And I've never been like the biggest. It's not that I dislike him exactly, but he was just
Darwin. We're talking about
Darwin,
right?
Yeah, Darwin. I guess we're talking about forwards right now, so we can mention him a little bit. I mean, even though it's, you'd think he might have earned a start with that late brace. I mean, but not enough for us to consider him yet. I don't think.
He's a holds, yeah. As in don't own him.
Yes,
holds. Exactly. Continue and holding, not owning hold. Darwin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't work as well when you don't own the player, right? It's just, yeah, it's a no buy right now. But but I was happy for him because last year was just such a frustrating season for him. He's obviously a really talented player. He does a lot of things well. It just felt like he was putting a lot of, again, this is just me being like Mr. Psychologist here, but like, just felt like he was too in his own head and couldn't kind of get out of it during matches. And that was causing him to miss chances that he probably should have converted.
We should come back to Ollie Watkins, though, in the spirit of the episode, Josh, and give our buy, sell, hold feelings on Ollie, because we didn't really come to a conclusion there. So this is like Bafétimbi Gomez at Swansea without the goals. It's just assists. And it's not super fun, but it is kind of productive. Yeah. I just don't really see where it goes from here. Where does it go from here?
I don't know. I mean, he outscored Vissa. He outscored Alvarez. I mean, Alvarez was incredibly unlucky today, but still. But Watkins got the points, right? And it's just like game week one. I mean, they got crushed by Newcastle, and Watkins got the points. And it's the problem I have is that he doesn't have that kind of Mo Salah determination to score. Sort of when he gets the ball, I guess this is where I was going before about how it's hard to get mad at him, because he's a good player and I think he helps the team win with all the things that he does. It's kind of like Roberto Firmino a little bit, right? It's like he does all these things well. Dominic Solanke too, who's honestly been decent fantasy wise as well. Mm-hmm. And so he does all these things well. And so it's hard to get like mad at him in like some kind of sense, right? Because they're winning, or at least they've won the last two. I still think that first match has to get kind of thrown out, because I just think when you lose your kind of star, I don't know, whatever you want to call Tyron Mings, but he's been a huge part of that team, right? Yeah. And you lose him 20 minutes in, it's like, okay, like that's got to be really, it's got to throw you off completely. And it felt like they were out of sync.
And not just that he had to leave the match. When he was leaving the pitch, it was clear, like, we're not going to see him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like game week one, right? And you're like, okay, so like that's, and they scored a goal early in that match, right? Yeah. They were looking good. So the problem is like when Watkins gets the ball in the box, it almost feels like his first instinct is to find someone to pass it to. And we saw last season, he had this incredible hot streak where it felt like he just scored. I mean, it was literally, I don't remember how many matches in a row it was, but it was like you'd get into the 90 minutes plus 5 minutes of extra time. You knew he was going to find some way to score yet again, because he just kept doing it. And, you know, the fact that he didn't take the pen in game week two, it's almost a sign. It doesn't seem like, it seems like he's kind of all in, like he's like, let's win. And but from fantasy perspective, my thoughts right now, I'll tell you where my brain is with my transfers, is to hold Watkins, because I do like him as a bench option and first off the bench if need be. You know, money, we're in a weird spot right now with budgets where you don't necessarily even need, what am I going to spend this money on, right? Like, I don't know. And so my thinking right now is Rashford to Mbeumo, And then I have this, I have Lukic as my fifth midfielder. And so I could go Lukic to Raheem Sterling. And then I would play a 3-5-2. And then I would bench Watkins mm-hmm. for game week four. And then I could kind of decide what to do from there. And most likely I would start him in game week five. And then I might move him on after that because they play Chelsea and Brighton and the two after that. But they play Palace at home, game week five. And that's the same week where Brentford play away to Newcastle. So you could kind of, you could rotate Mbeumo onto like a first bench spot there. So that's like a tentative thought. I could also just, I could go a little simpler. I could just move Watkins to Vissa, and that would be another way. But again, it's like, okay, I free up this cash for what? What am I going to do it for? And so, and I think this leads us nicely, I think, into midfielders, right? Because it feels to me like where I want my money right now is in all these affordable midfielders. And I think the first one here is I just mentioned him, but James says Sterling has to be the most obvious buy in FPL history, and we should be discussing with ourselves not bringing him in for Luton home, right? You could say the same thing about Melo Gusto, James. So I have mixed feelings about Sterling in general. I thought he played extremely well in game week two, but again, it wasn't kind of productive fantasy wise, and so I couldn't quite kind of get there with the transfer. It
wasn't productive IRL either.
Yeah, it wasn't productive. Yeah, well, I thought he played. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess I don't know, whatever. I mean, they lost, right? So it's sort of
it's a zero sum game, Josh.
It's a zero sum game. So I don't know. I guess that wasn't a way match too. I don't know. But why do I keep saying I've said I don't know like six times, Brennan. We should I should feel a little more I need to be a little more declarative. I know things exactly, but when I get a little tongue tied when I talk about Sterling, because I find it hard to evaluate him because I find him so frustrating because he's an extremely good player who is the holes in his game are things that are really visible, like when you watch a match on TV, right? It's like you sort of he just seems like he can be a little inaccurate with the shot. Mm-hmm. His decision making in the box sometimes isn't always great. But clearly, I mean, the two nice goals, set up an assist, help Nicholas Jackson get off the board. What do you think about Raheem Sterling? And you know what? Let's do a bonus. What do you think about Nicholas Jackson? Let's do a double, Sterling and Jackson.
Well, Nicholas Jackson was like a baby deer out there against Luton. I mean, the comments anywhere you looked, whether it was you were watching, I'm sure if you were watching in the bar, watching alone, making comments to yourself, watching with family members, watching online with some people, everyone agreed, wow, Nicholas Jackson is playing awful today. And he couldn't,
during the first half,
he could not control the ball. He didn't know which direction he was pointed at. And it was, at this point, I wouldn't say it was nerves. I mean, the man was, he should be settled into that squad, at least playing at the Bridge against a crap.
You didn't think he was better
team.
In the second. You didn't think he was better in the second half.
So this changes in the second half and I was encouraged when I saw him come out of the tunnel for the second half, and he was kind of smiling and collaborating with Conor Gallagher. And it seemed like he probably had a good moment in that dressing room. Yeah. Either people
think he came out of the tunnel at all was encouraging.
Yes, exactly.
And I was like, oh man, is he going to play?
Yeah. They might just like yank him off for sure. So he did look better. And if it was nerves, if I'm not giving him enough credit, and it was nerves in the first half, scoring that goal that Sterling like put on a dime for him will even improve, will further improve his confidence. So I came into that match in the first 30 minutes thinking like, oh my God, what are we all doing with Nicholas Jackson?
Yes.
This is bad.
Yep.
And I left the match thinking, thank goodness I had this guy. I really don't know fully what to expect from him, but I'm happy to have him. So he's very much a hold, and he's creeping into that territory of buy. And he's probably more of a buy almost based on the thoughts on Sterling, because I think Sterling might be the bellwether of things in that Chelsea attack are finally starting to gel. You finally have somebody who is taking charge, who is not Enzo Fernandez, who thinks he's Tom Brady or something like that. Strange performance by Enzo in that Luton match. He had his incredible moment was releasing Sterling to create that Nicholas Jackson goal. So Sterling, for me, I feel good about him. I mean, the fact that he has steadily improved the last 3 weeks, gone from washed to not washed, is incredible.
Yeah. It's a weird one with him, right? I mean, it's last year he has historically played very well, but it's not like, I don't know. I have to separate some of the, let's just talk how you and me think, right? Because there are other narratives out there. There's this kind of, it's so annoying, like this retroactive thing, like the second he scored in that match, it was like, everyone was like, yeah, see? And it was like, well, have you been watching him play? Because he is not, especially the first, I thought he looked good in the second half. I mean, he had that incredible pass setting up Chilwell, and Chilwell inexplicably turned he turned into Ollie Watkins there. It was like just shoot it. And so I thought Sterling was kind of a frustrating player in that match, and Chilwell was a frustrating player in that match. But I thought, I don't know what happened with Jackson in the second half, but I did think it came out better. But it's like, it's okay. Like, a lot of things can be true at the same time. Like, it's, you know, he can be bad and then he can be good literally in the same match. There's no rule. This is not like a film where a character's kind of story has to be consistent throughout, right? You can play bad and then you can play good. It's like, these are world-class players.
Totally.
They spend $40 million to buy them. Of course they're good.
Yeah, I read this incredible profile of a Major League Baseball pitcher in the New Yorker a couple months ago about the yips. The yips is something that anybody can get. It's mostly associated with athletes, but it could be like surgeons and anything that requires usually like fine motor skills. And athletes can get into this mode of the yips where they just lose their muscle memory of how to do what they've been doing for years. Anyway, I don't know if like Sterling had the yips or it was just moving away from Man City was a difficult transition for him. So all that said, I think we do have to sprinkle a little bit of Luton Town dust on this argument of what is the inverse of how good Sterling was on Friday with how just like not a competitive Premier League team Luton Town are.
Here's what I like, and I think that's a fair sprinkle of caution to throw in there. What I like is this: no Europe for Chelsea, 7.1 million for Sterling. The next five fixtures, even though I put four fingers up when I'm talking in this video, the next five fixtures are very strong.
Did you know Dan Byrne only has four fingers on one of his hands?
I did not know that.
That's so now weird. You know. That's,
I shouldn't say it's weird. It's totally fine and normal, but like I did not realize that.
When he was, shout out I to, guess, I think, Nick C, who brought that to my attention.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's weird that I didn't know that is what I meant. Yes. It's not weird that he has four fingers.
I was born with six fingers on my right hand. That sixth finger was removed upon my birth. Yeah.
Think how cool it would have been to watch Princess Bride, though, with your friends as a kid, if you had six fingers.
Well, but he was a bad guy. I would have felt marginalized.
You never wear the black hat, Brandon? You never want to be a villain?
I do now. Later in life, I do. Okay, so I get your point. I do agree with you. I think a triple up on Chelsea, you know, yes, great fixtures for Chelsea. And then the added bonus of no Europe, though they do play in the EFL Cup this weekend. But to triple up, I think Malo Gusto, yes, please, bye.
Yeah, both appealing. I like my starting trio Ruben. I've got Ruben, Chilwell, and Estupinan. I'm still, even with the one pointer, I'm still seeing Estupinan as the kind of just start him every week option. Yeah. And if you've got Jackson and Chilwell, then you kind of have to decide whether you want Sterling or Gusto, right? You've got to pick your spot there. And so I'm kind of leaning towards Sterling just because it seems kind of fun. Honestly, I want to love again, Brandon. I want to try again with Sterling. I've had some great moments over the years but it has been a long steady decline. So anyway, it looks like he's ready to ship. Good for him. He's got a great manager there. Maybe they're gonna make things work. So he is a strong buy for me. I like the price. I like the fixtures. I like the form. So there you go.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. FPL JMO says, of the Arsenal United midfield quartet, who should make way? Right. So that, I guess, would be, it's really a quintet, I would say. Right. You have Bruno. You have Marcus Rashford. You have Gabriel Martinelli. You have Martin Odegaard, and you have Saka. Now, of course, now maybe he means Saka does not go away. Right. He's not part of our, you wouldn't consider dropping Saka, would you, Brennan?
Not at all. No way.
Okay, good. All right. So we are at a quartet here, JMO. I think that that was a tough draw for Arsenal. That was a terrible draw, in fact.
it was really bad. As a Fulham supporter, yeah. I'll freely admit, oh, they blew it. Wow.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Well, so that's how I feel about Ollie Watkins, I think, is how Arteta must be feeling about Ramsdale and David Raya.
Yeah.
Ramsdale had that number one shirt until he basically found himself in no man's land for that Pereira goal. And there's your mistake. Raya in goal now. Yep. I mean, and Saka could be to blame for losing the ball, et cetera, et cetera. But sure. I'm like waiting for Watkins to make his goalkeeper mistake so I can get him out of my team. But anyway, I digress. Arsenal, they struggled. Kai Havertz, I think, is rightfully being scapegoated for just the somewhat dysfunctional attack at the moment.
Yeah. He's like, he's one of those guys. I just don't get it. It's like, he's doing some people love him, and he's doing things that I can't see with my own two eyes, Brandon. And I believe that there's some way to watch these matches or to look at underlying stats and see something that's very impressive and cool. But I don't really, I've never like blown away by Kai Havertz when I watch him play. I don't think he's part of this. We could talk about that whole Arsenal team, but I don't think he's part of this quartet that we're thinking about right now. I think Martinelli, I kind of feel fine. I mean, to me, it starts with Rashford. I mean, Rashford just looks off it. I know he got those assists, but it just doesn't feel like he's at his strongest. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Slightly indifferent performances from him. And I mean, at least Bruno, well, first of all, Bruno's a half million cheaper and he brings the fire. I don't know what
he's
else to
say.
I mean,
he's doing everything. Whether he's doing it correctly or not, Bruno is out there doing everything.
Really trying. Yeah, he is. He's really trying. And so I credit to Bruno. He gets the goal and the assist. Completely dumb yellow card, but whatever. And Rashford got a yellow card. A lot of yellow. I think I had like five yellows in my team this week, Brennan. But Bruno gets the yellow. And I would go Rashford first. Odegaard is an interesting one because he's a great player, obviously. He isn't necessarily it's almost like he kind of just finds himself with the ball, though, right? It's like it's sort of
scored a nice goal against Fulham, even though the pass was received from an offside position, so it was disallowed.
That's true. I forgot about that. I think it might have been Martinelli to Odegaard too on that one. So yeah, I think that, and I guess Odegaard and Martinelli is the one who maybe has a little bit of kind of minutes insecurity, right? Like yeah, there's a chance that I thought Vieira came in and played well too, right?
Looked obviously, amazing. Played so well.
Played so well. So there's maybe a little more competition. Odegaard doesn't really have any direct competition. And so maybe Martinelli would be second. And then I guess Odegaard third, Bruno fourth. That would be kind of the order of which I would sell those four players.
It is unanimous amongst the cheaters. I agree with you.
Okay.
Rashford first on the chopping block, then Martinelli, then Odegaard, then Saka. Bruno. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see any of them being super urgent, but I think Rashford is going to go for me. I just don't feel like I need to be doubled up on this Man United team anymore.
Good God, that's the ultimate point right there is why. Why with United?
So many places to go with that money, right? So many options. James Maddison, we haven't even talked about him yet, right? Like he's been awesome so far.
Yes, he's been really good.
For Spurs.
Yep. I think that's my question for game week four is Mbeumo or Maddison. Who will it be?
Yeah. Yeah. And let's see. Spurs play Burnley, who looked terrible, honestly. I mean, they came back and scored a goal, but it's a tough season for these promoted clubs, Brandon. It's not Sheffield acquitted themselves well today, I suppose. Like they
were spirited.
Their keeper was. My wife and I were joking about Fodderingham. And I was like, Kate, there's a goalkeeper on this team. His name is Fodderingham. I was like, isn't that a great British name? And she's like, what? She's like, what's his first name? And she's like, is it Jack? And I said, and I looked and I was like, nope, it's Wesley. It's like, what a great name. Wesley Fodderingham. Yeah. It's talk about Princess Bride. That's like a name right out of that.
I feel like there's a bad pun to be made there. Like having Christmas dinner at Fodderingham's table and he's actually your dad. And you're like, hey, foddering the ham, please. Hey, fodder.
Yeah. That does feel like the name. It also feels like the name of the venue where we're going to have like our fall meetup. Like, hey, I come to
Fodderingham and Shields or something. From
the
Knights of Fodderingham.
Yeah. So I think that it's I guess we can move on here, can't we, Brennan? Joshua Big says, what's the X vibes with Foden? How are you feeling about Phil Foden now? You've got him in your squad. I assume you keep him for Fulham, and there's really just no – I'm not sure we need to go – we could save it for the next pod, right? Because you're not going to drop Phil Foden before the Fulham match, are you?
No. When the news came out that he was not in the starting 11, I was already starting to make plans for getting rid. Was it an injury or is this just, as I said at the start of the pod, just the same old, same old? And I just like, well, this was going to happen. It's just happening now. But him coming on, him being healthy, they win the match when he's on the pitch, you know, whatever that means. Rodri wins the match for them, obviously. I'm left with some better vibes. The X vibes were low at the start of Sunday and were like, if on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at like a 7 vibes with Foden, which I'm right at his price tag in FPL, to be honest with you. So I think he's a easy hold. He's not
cold
a
as,
buy yeah. at this point. I think just because, you know, the theme of this midfield segment is there's so many options. And I'm, if I had to do over again, would gravitate to the more talismanic midfield figures like Mbomo or Madison or Sterling at this point.
Yep. I think that's right. There's just so many options so many options for cheap. It's crazy. I mean, in hindsight, we absolutely could have had Raheem Sterling. Trent Alexander-Arnold to start the season. It would not have done us any good, but he was easily fit inable into your squad. I mean, that is the one thing about Watkins that we didn't mention is that he's very startable and he's definitely a hold. He's not a sell, mm-hmm. right? Because he is eminently startable away to Liverpool without Virgil van Dijk, a squad he scored a hat trick against. I wouldn't mind starting him at all, honestly. I mean, there's at least a universe where I think I just really feel like I kind of got away with one with Brentford not having any players for game week three. I don't necessarily want to play with fire again like that. And so, well, I think that Watkins could score away. It just feels like a little passive for me to continue to hold on to two transfers like this. Like I just want to attack a little more and make up some ground.
Let me throw a quick hypothetical at you. If you had as your front three, Wissa, Haaland, and Ollie Watkins going into game week four, would you consider selling Ollie Watkins for Nicholas Jackson?
No, I don't think so. I can't quite shake how bad Jackson looked in the first half of that game. Just with my own two eyes, Brandon.
It's like
I was
seeing
watching,
your
I mean,
like seeing your dad
half,
naked
but...
or something like that. You're just like, man, I need to like wash my eyes out with a chemical
I need
wash.
I need a while. Yeah, I don't know if we're supposed to sit here and pretend that everything's awesome with Jackson because he scored a goal or what, but
we saw that.
Yeah, we saw the other stuff. Exactly. All right, two more quick hits here. FPL SK says stick with Salah as a differential.
No way. There's like you're paying
so much money.
Oh, no.
Even with this Villa match, I would consider dropping him. No. Honestly. I mean, it's a home match, so you never need to drop Salah before a home match, right? It doesn't matter who they're playing, but it doesn't feel fun to like I would not want to it's kind of over right now. He's flirting with Saudi Arabia, and it's like clearly that would not have leaked if he wasn't amenable to that, right? That doesn't leak out. He's got the most expensive contract in the Premier League. There's nowhere for him to go. Yeah. He's not going to renegotiate a new contract, right? It's like it's either he goes or stays. And so I don't know. I mean, part of me is like, let him go, play Trent Alexander-Arnold as a right wing because he is killing this team. He is killing them. I mean, I don't know if you can do the whole like butterfly effect, but maybe Van Dijk doesn't get that. It's like they concede that goal and then Van Dijk, and it's like, because there's no coverage. Again, this setup is insane, which is basically we are going to play Trent as a midfielder and not play a right back. And when we have the ball, we're going to not play a right back and hope that the other team does not get the ball back. Like that's like basically we hope we score when he's, because otherwise it's just Van Dijk alone just like trying to stop this
and if
attack.
They get the ball back, then Van Dijk can just reduce them. That's the plan.
Exactly. And if he makes one mistake, they're screwed. And he was furious too. I don't think I've ever seen him that fired
well
up.
Just
was,
on the Salah, I'm not ready to discount Salah as a player. I don't think you're like discounting him as a player. I expect big things from this lad, Josh, at Liverpool. But the fantasy game perspective, you're getting no value from him at his price tag. It makes no sense.
The opposite. Yeah, exactly. And he did get a very fortunate, well, whatever. Not unfortunate. I mean, he's always on the pitch. This is what X minutes are all about, right? It's like the idea is that you're just always there.
Very pass to Darwin.
Luck your way. Say. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't mean to imply there's anything lucky about it, but just, you know, this is what's great about Salah is even when down to 10 men, you're like, he can still get something out of this. All right. So, one final question. We should mention West Ham here. FPL is fun? Says, has West Ham impressed enough for Bowen or James Ward-Prowse to be legit options with Luton and Sheffield bookending the next four game weeks? James Ward-Prowse was sitting there, Brandon, for a lot of teams to go after. And he kind of—I don't think he even joined until after game week one or something like that.
He was playing for Southampton when the championship season kicked off.
He is so good; it's insane that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he was waiting for just the right offer or something like that. But he's like one of those coaches who's on the sideline waiting for the right. But it's like he is—he makes. I mean, it's actually kind of cool to see him on a team with some really good players, right? No disrespect to Southampton supporters, but
plenty,
like, it's just,
I've got plenty.
Like,
so.
Yeah, I mean, he's just out there playing great, scoring goals. He's like the most dangerous dude in the world on set pieces. He's probably going to take pens for West Ham. And then you've got Jared Bowen, who scored a beautiful goal yesterday. I thought he played really well. It was a beautiful counterattacking strategy throughout that match. I mean, it was just incredible. Soak up all this pressure. I'll even throw Areola in there. I thought the whole team played well. I thought Areola had a great game.
Some of the saves
as well
that Areola made were incredible.
Yeah. He might just be worth starting. Like, just, you just might need $2.4 million. I mean, I guess I'm going to blow up the goalkeeper section, but you might just play Areola. Like, he seems like, I'm kind of annoyed that I moved from that. Like, turned out everyone thought, oh, we're so clever, we're moving from Areola to Matt Turner at the last minute. It's like, can I get Areola back, please? It's, I guess they've got a couple tough ones coming up. I mean, the problem is you don't necessarily want to go all in on West Ham because they have Luton and then they have Sheffield. In between, it's that pesky matter of Man City and Liverpool. And Man City is at home, but Liverpool is away at Anfield. So sure, they could score in those fixtures, but they're not great fixtures. Not compared to what you might get from Chelsea or Brentford players you might think about bringing in. So, I don't know. What do you think about West Ham?
I think they look spectacular. That's like, even the Antonio goal you didn't mention, the pass from Benrahma. Our friend Mike was texting me. He was like, what does Benrahma do? And I was just like, he balls hard. I love that guy. So I guess you could say, like, everybody in this West Ham team, at least in the attack, looks totally on point. Their problem last season was they ran out of gas pretty early in the season, and they're playing in Europe again, I assume, because they're Conference League champions. So
yeah, they're playing in Europa. They qualified as a result of winning the Conference League.
There you go. That would be like the one thing to watch out for, I guess, is like as soon as you start to see the West Ham team flagging a little bit, sell. Yeah. Don't hang on too long to these guys. But I think I wonder if James Ward-Prowse at $6 million is worth saving $1 million on Bowen, or is Bowen, because he is that attacking, I don't know, I can't decide which one would be more appealing if I were like on wild card.
We've never seen Ward-Prowse in a team this good.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, and I feel like we're already seeing, and maybe there's like a little bit of like, he's fresh and he's never going to be better than he is these first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a Mesut Ozil joined Arsenal or whatever, right? It's like he's just playing out of his mind. But
I would love to see a languid James Ward-Prowse.
But I've always rated James Ward-Prowse. I think you have too, right?
Sure.
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he's a fun player and he's cheap. And so I don't know that I'll really consider anyone for West Ham until game week 10. Game week 7. I don't know why I jumped to game week 10. Game week 7 is when they play Sheffield. So I think they're a hold for me, kind of the entire squad. But I think I mentioned right at the top of the pod, if you're looking for a 1 week punt and you've got kind of nowhere to spend your two free transfers, I think Bowen's a fun place to go. All right, let's do two last questions here, Brendan. One defender question, one keeper question. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The defender question is, can you name a Gabriel replacement who has not been Chilwell or Purvis Estupinan? Is it Purvis, right? Is that his first name? Yes, it is Purvis. Yeah, Purvis.
Let me pull up the fixtures. I mean, is it Udogi? Burnley and Sheffield United with the Spurs team that's going to be flying high, like psychologically and just straight up form wise, I like how attacking he is. And I like the idea, you know, as you've mentioned many times, international break arrives after this game week. Can you make a Gabriel transfer where you actually get some money in the bank? So maybe you can think a little bit more creatively during the week off, during the international break. Rico Henry fits that mold as well, but I think as the Postecoglou system at Spurs like immediately takes hold, some people thought it would take longer. I mean, it's happening. It's happening for everybody except Richarlison. Richarlison, just a speed round on Richarlison.
And then he was like complaining. It's like, there's like nothing I can do if they don't pass me the ball. It's like, dude, you got to just like,
it's over, dude.
You got to score more goals, man.
It's totally over for you. Sorry. So yeah, I just think they're the going to be more successful in the just with results than Brentford in the near term.
I mean, I know you're big on Gvardiol, and I think that's a very reasonable pick. He's only 5 million. I mean, they honestly have the best defensive fixture run of anybody. I've mentioned before where I sort of get frustrated with Man City because you don't tend to get a ton of attacking returns, but he does get forward. I mean, he actually made a kind of a dumb play in the offside play in this match, but he is getting more forward. And so he's definitely a shot. I think you've got a bunch of options, really. I mean, I think I'm with you, Udogie. I think Rico Henry, I think you may have briefly mentioned him. And I suppose it's too bad they play Liverpool away in game week four, but I think Matty Cash had a really impressive match too. And I think that he deserves a little bit of attention. I think that he is he had a very impressive match. And so I think that he's definitely on the hold category. But I'd say there's a bunch of players that I would consider straight buys. And I think also if you don't mind the risk of Reece James supplanting him at some point in the future, as we said before, Malo Gusto, Forest, Bournemouth, Villa, Fulham, Burnley in the next five. Some excellent opportunities for clean sheets and attacking returns. So quite a few options, really, honestly, for Gabriel.
I would say not Saliba. I don't know. I haven't really kind of figured out, and I don't want it to be because I'm smarting from them conceding two goals this weekend. But I just dealt with the Timber injury, with the unsettledness of what's going on the left side of the pitch, with the unsettled nature of the goalkeeper rotation. I am concerned about clean sheets at Arsenal. So Saliba, it feels like he's off the table. I will probably hold him until like a need arises, but I don't suspect he would survive a wild card for me right now.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, we actually kind of advocated for this a couple of weeks ago, which is that just not a lot of clean sheets right now. I wonder if it's just because there's so much talent, the Premier League are sort of trading players among themselves, getting all the best players from Europe because they have so much money, getting all the best players from the championship. It's just kind of everybody has like a baseline of quality now, right? We were talking about Iwani before. So it does seem like you might just be better off getting those kind of cheap fullbacks and hoping that you can get some assists and not worrying so much about clean sheets. And it's really the problem with Saliba is he's not really has any kind of goal or assist threat. It's a trap I kind of fell into with Ruben Diaz, honestly, which is that I picked up exactly the kind of player that I was suggesting you don't necessarily do. So again, it's hard to follow your own advice sometimes. All right, let's finish off though with goalkeepers here. Matt says, if you're going purely off the data set we have and our first impressions, who is the top pick? And it's a pretty tricky one, Brandon. I wrote out a couple of bullets here, so I'll answer my own red question here. Well, I mean, the short answer is there isn't a great pick so far. I think that it's there's no one who is kind of represents that kind of perfect mix of value and clean sheets and really great underlying stats. And you know, I think that Areola, who we talked about before, might honestly be someone you might consider. And it seems like even with some of those trickier away matches, if he's going to get a ton of saves, then it's fine. I mean, this is kind of traditionally how you should be thinking about goalkeepers anyway, right? It's pretty hard to get clean sheets, even when you're a good squad. And so what you want are keepers that face a lot of shots. Yeah. And then you may occasionally, so even if you occasionally have the, you know, concede, you also have those matches where if they hit, they hit so big, right? It's like they get a clean sheet and they get eight saves and they get two bonus points, right? It's like you sort of, so you end up getting these. This is actually exactly what we had last year with Raya, right? Was you get, it'd be like 1-12, right? 3-12 or 11. And it was like he was kind of so you weren't necessarily getting big returns every time, but the big ones were so high that it averaged out, and you were getting them for a million cheaper than someone like Ederson. So anyway, so I think that you could make it, maybe make an argument for Ariel. I don't really know if the rest of that line is good enough to, I don't know if they can get enough clean sheets to make it worthwhile, but.
Yeah, I think you have to talk about Bernd Leno and that Rea mold where over the course of three matches, he scored 19 points and it was five points against Arsenal where he conceded two. I feel like Flecken and Leno are two sides of one goalkeeper coin in that Leno is going to face more big chances and leak more goals, but he's going to make fewer mistakes than Flecken.
Yeah.
So he's going to be less frustrating to own because what you see is what you get. With Flecken, he's going to face fewer big chances, but he's going to, I predict, make mistakes. Like he's not, I don't think he's got like his head screwed on tight enough. And he's going to be frustrating for that reason. I mean, the goal that that Brentford conceded against Palace, I thought, could Flecken do a little bit more there? So anyway, I think that's kind of an interesting way to think about your goalkeeper choice is choose the one that fits your personality.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I think, I mean, and honestly, if you look past the Fulham Man City match, it's a nice run for Fulham after that too. Luton, Palace, Chelsea, Sheffield, Spurs. So if you have to burn a transfer and I, you know, he might be a good wild card keeper, Leno too. He might be someone to consider. Maybe Leno and Ariel. I don't know exactly how those two rotate, but that could be something to consider.
So we're just over the Matt Turner thing already. Like that ride has finished.
Kind of. I mean, I'm just not, just feel, I mean, he's going to get some saves, but I just don't see a lot of clean sheets there. Yep. Right. I think that's the problem.
Yep.
All right. Let's take one last break, Brandon. Then let's talk about game week four and we'll wrap up this week's pod. All right, Brandon, game week four kicks off with our final Friday for a while. We've got a Friday kickoff, Luton, West Ham, probably fairly pure watch-ish, I would think. I'm not sure how many people are going to have anybody, maybe West Ham pick up some new transfers after the Brighton performance. And then we've got Man City Fulham, so we're all just going to captain Haaland again. I'm sorry to say, but it's fine. I'm kind of over it. I'm over being like, it's fine. I don't even think about the captaincy anymore, and it's like I just think about other stuff. And it feels like I still feel like I've got plenty of strategic decisions to make. So it's just, you know, it feels fine.
What did you make of his performance against whoever they were playing?
Oh, Sheffield. Yeah. I think I thought I don't know. The problem is that they don't have De Bruyne out there, right? And it's like they sort of, he doesn't quite have, and they don't have Gundogan either, who I think was also really good at having these kind of moments. It's actually interesting to see Rodri sort of, it feels like he's the one who's kind of in the Gundogan.
He's been amazing now, this season. Right? Rodri has.
It's been amazing. Maybe he actually has been, I'm not enough of a Man City supporter to say this, but you know, because you have Kovacic on the pitch out there, right? Is that opening up some opportunities for Rodri to burst maybe a little bit more? And we're seeing him kind of dictate play. Anyway, so I think that I thought he was okay. The pen was fine. I mean, it was just kind of unlucky, right? Yes. He got him the wrong way. Yep. I loved how hard he hit that. He didn't have to hit it nearly that hard. It was kind of hilarious. Like the headed goal, right? It's like he just belted it. Like it's so hard.
Really showed that like ball
foot,
for.
Yeah, from a foot away. So
I also like the other goal that he scored that was ruled offside, like how he was wagging his finger at the lines when he was like, no, that was too close. And then they show the replay and he's like striding like it's like a bus length offside. Anyway, we're captaining Haaland against Fulham. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, captaining Haaland. Brighton Newcastle, another fun match. I think I'm going to be on a flight then, Brandon. So I don't know. It's one of these small flights too. So I mean, I'm going to be like maybe I'll pay for, you know, the like cell phone service, right? So I can just keep hitting refresh and
your papers. You know,
always fun.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We all love having a, you know, sofa score up or whatever, right? When we like are, you know, going through it.
Yeah. It's only text based stuff on the phone, on a flight, because there's not enough juice to actually stream live content.
It never quite works as well as you want it to, right? Actually, no, it's FootMop is what I've been using. FootMop is fun. Yeah. And I started to use it a little more recently because it's just very handy to get the players' numbers from there. Like, it's a quick way to, sometimes I'm watching the match, I'm like, who is that? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a quick way to do that. And I like the commentary they add as well. So that's a free plug, Brandon, for FootMop. I talked a little bit about my transfers. I guess you did as well. So you're thinking about just one transfer this week?
Yeah, I don't have any problems to solve. So to be able to bring two frees into the international break seems sensible.
Oh. Yeah, so you say now.
So I say now.
It happens on Friday.
Problems will arise. Onana is the guy I probably can't stand the sight of the most, but there he is. And
what are you gonna do? You're not gonna move
him. You can't move a goalkeeper at this point. Like, even a bad goalkeeper is worth more to you than spending a free transfer
on
them.
It's a waste of a transfer because it's just so unpredictable, especially early on, right?
Every single match Onana has played so far for Manchester United, he's had a red card worthy, penalty giving worthy foul in the box. He's luckily not been called. I find myself praying that he does get called for these, so at least he can face a penalty shot and score some.
That's true.
Actual points.
We all know that moment when you're like, just get up, come on, like,
get him.
It's probably the same, honestly, with Jordan Pickford. I would rather him just get a pen, maybe save it.
There are two guys for me, Rashford or Watkins. Rashford to any number of the midfielders we've just mentioned, or Watkins to Wissa. I am convinced to probably hang on to Watkins. And I, just for fun's sake, Josh, I think getting in on that Luton Town match on Friday with a West Ham mid like JWP or Bowen.
It's hard to imagine they're not scoring a couple of goals. This is our first time we'll see the Luton Town grounds, right? On television, too, at least me personally. So I'm looking forward. I don't know that I consciously have ever seen Luton Town play a home match before. So that'll be interesting. All right. Yeah. And I talked before about mine. I'm considering two midfield transfers. Sort of like it as a long-term move as well, because I think it just kind of makes sense to me that I think I want to be playing five across the middle, given how many options there are. Gives me a little bit of flexibility to move James Maddison if I don't make him one of my transfers this week. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. I may have to watch the price changes because it's pretty tight for me at the moment. So if like some of my players are looking like they might drop, I may have to move early. I mean, Rashford has to be due for a drop, right? Even with the two assists. So keep an eye out for that. All right. So Brandon, that brings us to our, XDIH of the week, X dog in him, Brandon, brought to you by the hit movie Strays.
Yep.
It's a free plug in movies everywhere.
Thanks, Strays.
Thanks, Strays. So who's our dog in him player for this week, Brandon? Who are you going to pick?
I love the segment.
Who's got that dog in him this weekend?
Oh, I mean, I'm kind of wondering if it's going to be Jordan Pickford, because Everton are bottom of the table and they just kind of look silly at the moment. And Pickford is not going to go out like that. You know, England's number one, being a laughing stock. And he's got the dog in him. We know that. But I feel like his XDIH going into game week four feels like it could be pretty high.
I'll go totally off the board with mine here, Brandon. Yeah. I'm going to go with Eze. Crystal Palace is Eze. I think they need a big performance. I think that they got a nice point away to Brentford. I think that's a strong, considering they snatched that late. I think that's a solid point for them. But I think it's time for them to get a big win. And I think that Eze is great much of last season, and it's fun to the little Raider. I think this is when Eze kind of reemerges as a player to watch. So he's got that dog in him for me this week. Thank you again. Go to see a hit movie, Strays, in movies.
See it in theaters if you can.
If you can, I'm not sure if it's still there or not, but if you can, definitely go see it. All right. Well, that's it. Thanks everyone for listening to the pod this week. If you want to support the pod, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. A big thank you to everyone who became a new Patreon supporter this week and this month in general. It's been a great month for Patreon. And so if you're looking to find some people to talk to, and it's a little more, I don't know, it's a little more chill. People don't tend to yell at each other. Or if there is some yelling, those people get swiftly corrected silenced by the rest of the community. Yeah, exactly. And so it's a good place to chill and talk fantasy and watch matches together and things like that. Mm-hmm. So patreon.com/alwayscheating, where you can go. We'll also do an extra podcast later this week. Brandon, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
Yeah, thanks to our producers, Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, Babas Kuhn, James Howland, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Lazarus Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Andy Portlock at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Buffalo Wild Mings, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Vulgar, Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, Shalin F. Kadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Paul Hertzing, Heath Cram, Thomas Tislov, Noah and Louise, Travis Grant, Julio Pena, Linus Vennerstrom, Dan Parsons, James C., Matthew Skinner, Frode Jacobson, Brennan, and Daniel Hart. Do not miss an episode of Always Cheating by subscribing. And while you are subscribing on your favorite platform, please rate us 5 stars. Give us a review if you can do it on that platform. I think Spotify actually cracked the code.
Don't even do it.
Just give 5 stars. You know, nobody's going to read that crap. You can. What you can do on Spotify, though, if you listen to Always Cheating on Spotify, I don't know if you can do this on your phone, maybe, whatever. Check it out. You can actually leave questions or comments on the individual episodes. So if you feel like we missed somebody for the XDIH pick of the week, let us know there on Spotify.
Yeah, and who's got that dog in him that we didn't mention?
Anyway, so that's the download and all the must-have information. Alwayscheating.com is where to go for all that information.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.